We were taught no nutrition and very minimum lifestyle.
Okay, this needs to be, if you would read a book, this is where you'd get the highlight marker, right? And you'd highlight this. This is very important. Medical doctors, they don't learn basics of nutrition. How many?
28. In a day, I think in a week, he was telling me he has to see 110. He got slapped on the wrist for seeing 108.
Can you talk about a little bit of the benefits now of Ramadan?
And then olives, like prophetic. This is
very healthy, huh? Very healthy. I heard it's a superfood. This
superfood.
People, are you ready for the Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Deen Show, which is a way of life we try to put out there for everyone to see, helping you understand Islam and Muslims. Now you heard these words, tayyibat and halal. Ramadan is coming up, and we have a medical doctor here, not just any medical doctor, but we have the author of the Holistic RX, Dr. Madiha. Assalamu alaikum, how are you?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So an honor to be here, thank you.
Thank you for being with us here. Tell us a little about yourself.
So I am born and raised in Illinois. So I had multiple of the same bad habits that have led most of adults down the road to chronic illness. I had lupus, Hashimoto's, severe digestive complaints, you know, acne, seborrheic dermatitis, eczema, allergies. And as I was going through my medical training, I graduated residency from South Bend, Indiana. So I was a new mom, a new wife, a new resident all at the same time. And that's when all of my conditions sort of came to a peak where I was severely fatigued. And I knew I was just trapped in this body that wasn't doing what I wanted it to do.
But you're a medical doctor. You would think that, okay, you're a medical doctor. You're at optimal health.
Yeah. But no, but what was so scary is that I was also being thrown just the medications, like, oh, you have fatigue. No, it's just because you're a new mom, new wife, new resident, which could be the case, but I knew that wasn't. And I was sick and tired of just taking steroids, and then they wanted to give me, other medications, and I didn't feel like nobody was getting to the underlying root cause of why I was getting this, because every time I turned, it seemed like I was diagnosed with something else. And I was getting sicker and sicker instead of getting healthier and healthier. So I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So right after residency, I joined this medical practice where under one roof, there was me, an OBGYN, an internist, an exercise physiologist, nutritionist, counseling, chiropractor, massage therapy, acupuncture, acupressure, homeopathy, all brought together for the complete healing of the whole person, a concept that's really foreign to us. My parents sacrificed everything for all of us, my siblings, to be doctors. Mm-hmm. My brother is an interventional cardiologist. My sister is a pediatric ICU physician. I have cousins / sisters in Harvard psychiatry and psychiatry in Florida and, everywhere, pediatrics, you name it. I have all these specialists. But none of us have been taught a single class of nutrition unless I missed it in maternity leave.
No nutrition in medical school?
Probably just a couple hours in medical school.
Okay, this
but
is
what we really apply to our patients is in residency.
Yeah.
So in residency, as a family physician,
yes,
and as the rest of all my siblings and all the other colleagues, we were taught no nutrition and very minimum lifestyle.
Okay, this needs to be, if you would read a book, this is where you'd get the highlight marker, right? And you'd highlight this. This is very important that you don't, did you know this, Imran? That medical doctors, they don't learn basics of nutrition or nutritional lifestyle.
And stress
this
management
is the key to health, though.
These are the key to health.
This was one of those aha moments when I learned this.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, hold on. If you don't learn nutrition and that's the fuel for good health, then lifestyle, like you said, that is something that is really profound.
Key.
That you have to know that. That's the key to health is
absolutely.
Nutrition.
And doctors know. I mean, when you go to your doctor, we know that lifestyle is important, but we've never really been given, because for example, my husband's a family physician. He has to see 28 patients in a day.
How many?
28. In a day, I think in a week, he was telling me he has to see 110. He got slapped on the wrist for seeing 108. And so in that many patients in a week, in a 40-hour week, we have to see 15 to 20 minute patients, visits, that's it. And you're just taught, we were taught in residency that we just ask the patient to tell us one symptom and one complaint only, And that's all we're going to address at this time. If you have another complaint, come back to me in another visit. Mm-hmm. But we are not like that. We are not just one complaint. We are not just one organ system. We are mind, body, soul, and it's all interconnected.
Some have actually cut that down to like 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Which is true? I can't. I mean, and why is it? Someone might say, "Well, what's the big deal?" Because you're trying to get a proper diagnosis. You really got to get into the history. You got to really get into the to the person. But if you only got 5, 10, 15 minutes, how do you do that?
And you can't really, really understand the underlying root cause. So this is where...
Maybe it's good for a symptom.
Acute conditions, it's great.
Okay. And is it true that now, I mean, medical doctors and medical school are not taught how to cure the disease, but how to symptom management? That is what's primarily... Is that true?
So we are taught that these conditions do not have cures.
That's another aha moment right there.
For example, if you have high blood pressure, there's no way you're going to live the rest of your life with the high blood pressure.
Yeah.
If you are on thyroid medications, they told me as I was telling everybody else too when I was in residency until I really had my aha moment also. And when we are on these medications, we're on them for life. Unless
you're a customer for life.
I'm a customer for life.
Wow.
And this is where
But that goes against our deen. I mean, our deen actually tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and earth, tells us that look, for every disease, he has sent a cure. But they're telling us the opposite now, that there's no cure.
There's no cure. We can just manage symptoms.
See, people don't know this.
With medication.
This is really important for everybody listening. So those drugs aren't actually meant. They're just symptom management. They all come at a cost. So you're just putting a Band-Aid on the check engine light.
Absolutely.
That's what you're doing.
So I sort of describe it like a hand or, you know, I'll put up my little tree later on. But it's basically all these symptoms we have a root underlying cause of inflammation. So if somebody comes in with, you know, digestive complaints, insomnia, depression, autoimmune conditions like thyroid problems, or even, any other cancer, all we know that all of these symptoms can be treated with a drug. We all know the underlying root cause is inflammation. This is not new to us. Doctors know that if you have sinusitis, it's called inflammation of the sinuses. Mm-hmm. We know that if you have arthritis, it's inflammation of the joints, which is you treat with an anti-inflammatory. If you have eczema, we give you a steroid. We know that there's inflammation. So we know that the underlying root cause of all of these chronic conditions is due to inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but doctors, now this is what...
Explain to the layperson, when you say inflammation,
yes,
in a simple term, like how do you explain? Give us some kind of picture. Like what does that mean, inflammation?
Inflammation is what I tell a layperson, it's your body off balance.
Mm-hmm.
And there is there's two different types of inflammation. There's an acute inflammation and there's chronic inflammation. Acute is what we're all familiar with. If you get like that sore throat or a cut, if your body...
That's the good inflammation?
It's a good inflammation. And then there's the bad inflammation. When your body is constantly being bombarded with either constant stress or infections or bad food, all these impurities lead to our body being up in our arms all the time. For a short time, that chronic inflammation is okay. But over time, when your body is constantly being bombarded in all directions with this, toxins and bad food and stress and all these things, it starts to get confused. And when it gets confused, then it starts to create diseases of every stripe.
Is this like a fire in your body?
It's like a fire.
It is?
It rages. Yeah. Inflammation actually means fire within.
So it's a fire within your body.
Yes, it's a fire within our body. And so this is where, doctors know that chronic diseases are due to inflammation. That's why we give you anti-inflammatories.
Yes.
But if you still have the water running, you know, you can be mopping it up all you want, but if the water is still running, you're still going to get a flood.
Yeah. So you're a medical doctor. Now you also are dealing with some of these. You mentioned, what was it, lupus?
I had them.
Yeah, you had them.
Yes.
So alhamdulillah, you were able to get cure of it, and you went against the odds because now, according to conventional medicine, if you have, what was it, lupus, what else?
Hashimoto's, seborrheic dermatitis, acne, eczema, allergies, severe digestive complaints,
all of these
hormonal imbalances. I was miserable.
Yes. As a medical doctor,
as a medical doctor, then you I have these
then
complaints.
Now as a medical doctors also they go to another medical doctor probably for another opinion. Mm-hmm. So what are they telling you? Now you're going to your who are you going to now for these conditions?
So you're going to a specialist for these conditions.
So you got a specialist.
And the specialists, even if they, basically it's oh here's take Synthroid, but I'm like I'm still not feeling well. Because I wasn't dealing with the underlying root
cause. Now, don't those come with side effects? They come at a cost?
They come with side effects.
And they're not actually healing you.
They are just covering up the symptoms. They're band-aiding it.
It's kind of like putting, is it kind of like, okay, putting perfume? I'm sorry to get this. I just came to my mind, like on doo-doo. Like, you know, you're, okay, you know, at the end, it's like you're covering up the smell, but it's still, like on the carpet, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
The cat or someone goes
yeah,
on
yeah.
and
so
you
you're
just,
still,
it's still,
covering it up. And
you're just
some
putting
cases,
perfume on there.
And in some cases, this is where I really want to reiterate to your audience and everybody listening, is that in some cases you need that. In order to control the blaze, you need to first put out the fire.
Okay, so you put it
so
out.
So I put it out. But it's that long-term constant, you know, when you're not really addressing the underlying root cause or getting rid of that doo-doo.
Yeah.
If you're not getting rid of it, then you're not really dealing with the underlying root cause.
So, okay.
So sometimes you need it for conditions like to really, because if you have this fire blazing, it's better to, you know, put in the army first.
In an emergency.
In an emergency, get rid of the fire. And then, but the thing is chronic conditions that over time we really can, if we deal with the underlying root cause, you can then really even, I have had people get off of all those medications.
Yeah, you
then.
Can kind of, okay, firefighters come, they put out the
put
fire
out the
here.
Blaze,
but now
yeah.
they keep, that water is good to put out the initial fire.
Yeah.
But man, they'll destroy the whole property if they keep blazing
if
the whole
they
house.
They keep doing
they
it.
They keep flooding the place. Now
yeah.
you got now you destroyed everything inside the house.
Absolutely.
And that's what's happening in the body.
And that's what's happening.
That was happening to you. And then at what point did you decide to go above and beyond and take control of your health?
When I joined this medical practice, I had one child in residency, and me and my husband were both working 80-hour work weeks. I couldn't.
Your husband's also a medical doctor.
He's a medical doctor.
Okay.
So he's a family physician, and right after residency, when I was having my, I'm like, I can't live like this. I am severely fatigued. I can't. How am I going to take care of my family
mm-hmm.
properly? How am I going to do proper ibadah to Allah where I could barely pray?
Well, that's affecting.
Because
yeah.
it's affecting everything.
Everything.
I just was tired. I was exhausted. I was in pain. I had joint pain. I was like, this is not for me. So I'm going to take charge of my life. And I started learning from all these amazing practitioners. I started to apply it in my own patients first. Before I even started applying in my own, because my patients, for example, my first patient was a 31-year-old with 9 autoimmune diseases, myasthenia gravis, psoriasis, lichus planus, Sjogren's, Hashimoto's. And she actually was on the highest dose of Imuran. Highest dose of Mestinon. They wanted to put her on Imuran, and they told her, sorry, you're just going to have to let this live its course. I was like, what? And this is a disease that can kill you eventually because it's an autoimmune disease of the muscles. 1 month, all gone, 50% resolution. 7 months, she's now a scuba diver instructor
mm-hmm.
for autoimmune diseases of the muscles. Now she's a scuba diver instructor. So when I saw her and then I started researching this, in a lot more detail, started applying it to my own life. And therefore, when I was able to heal myself, and then since then I've had 100% success rate in healing chronic illness with lifestyle. And that too, later on, I realized that it's all this Islamic medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what Allah has told us our lifestyle should be, is that's all I'm doing with these patients. And now conventional medicine is really backing that up. That's when it really blew my mind. And I realized there was not a single book out there written for somebody with multiple chronic conditions like I was dealing. I'm a family physician, so I see adults, children, you know, everybody in between. and I wanted to give the people one source that kind of covers everything integrative, functional, and holistic medicine in one source for all ages. And that's where I wrote my book, The Holistic RX.
Mm-hmm.
And so... and trying to inspire others that they can get in charge of their own health just by getting back to purity.
Now that is what we opened up with, Tayyibat, halal, and this is, how would you translate that, Tayyibat? Because many people, they see the word, but now, and it's thrown in there, Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, is saying to eat of the Tayyibat.
Mm-hmm.
But now, what were you eating before you got the cure? What kind of foods? Give us an example.
So
what were you letting into this
I was letting into this you know, gift that Allah has given us, I was letting in junk. So we had
fake foods.
Fake food. Let me tell you why. Because as doctors, me and my husband were both working 80-hour work weeks. There was free food at our residency. Free food. We were not sleeping. We're not eating properly. We had free food, so we can eat all the junk that we want.
Wow.
And that's when I told you my symptoms came to a head. It's because I was totally not respecting this body. And with all fake food, artificial, everything now, especially if it's processed, you have to look really careful. It's fake food, artificial food. And tayyib means pure, pleasant, nutritious, safe, peaceful, something that is good and full of more good.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically when Allah talks about it in Surah Baqarah, ayah number 168. And O mankind, eat it which is halal and tayyib, and do not follow footsteps of shaitan. I was not doing that.
Yeah.
I was eating junk and artificial foods, just like everybody else right now.
But when you go to the hospital, a place where you're supposed to get well, people are confused because you go to the hospital and you stay there for a night, a day, 2 weeks, and they're bringing you this type of food.
Because again, doctors are not taught nutrition. So when we aren't taught that, and we are not even taught or even told to even look outside the box of lifestyle, how lifestyle can even help. We believe that it can't.
Yes.
We believe that that's a totally different entity and your disease is a totally different entity.
Yes.
And so this is why I'm working right now. I educate lots of doctors all over the country. And about trying to bring this into our conventional medical practice.
These are some, and now this is some, we have a display here. This is some, while people are looking at this, these are some examples of real food. So
we're
talking about real food.
And you can still have fun. It's delicious.
Right? People think, okay, it's something that's very expensive. I can't keep up with it. And they're maybe confused, like, okay, well, I eat this kind of stuff. I can buy this at Walmart. You know what I mean? But what's the difference? This is sweet, right?
This is sweet.
But let's give an example. What's the difference between this and a fake food that looks like this?
So this
What do you call this?
These are my, I made them this morning. They are my apple cinnamon muffins.
Apple cinnamon muffins, okay.
Yes. But there is only 4 ingredients in it.
Only 4.
Honey.
Okay, so
almonds,
honey. Let's start with that honey. The honey you use, is it, what kind of honey is it? Because there's like
raw organic honey,
raw unfiltered organic honey.
Yeah.
So pure honey, not
pure
like
honey.
They got some honey that I was watching a documentary. It's a shame. It's like they estimate like 70% of the honey that's sent here. Some of it's from China. It's fake. It's they put ingredients that now it doesn't even qualify
as
honey.
It's really sad.
Yeah. So this is real.
It's honey.
Non-damaged
honey.
Raw honey. Then you said what else?
Almonds.
Almonds.
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
Eggs.
Eggs. And when you say eggs, what kind of?
I have
organic eggs.
Organic pastured eggs.
Okay, so from healthy chickens.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have is apples.
Apples. Okay, organic
and
apples.
And I put cinnamon.
All right.
Baking
now compare that to, let's say you go and you look at the ingredients. People are going to start doing that. And you look into some of these ingredients.
It makes me scared.
You can't even pronounce these ingredients.
You can't even pronounce it. It's all made in a lab.
Okay.
And this is why I wanted to really emphasize.
That's why we say it's fake.
It's fake.
This is real.
This is real.
Yeah.
This is fake.
Yes.
And that's the impure foods that we're going to be talking about. Because these foods that are not tayyib. So any of these fake foods, these artificial foods that are not tayyib, actually affect our body in so many different levels. So when Allah talks about food, so let's go ahead and talk about it, especially with Ramadan coming up.
Yes.
When Allah talks about food, He says that it should be pure quality and small quantity, right? And so why
pure is... Pure quality, you said?
Pure quality.
And less quality.
And less quantity.
Okay.
So let's talk about why those two are important.
Mm-hmm.
One that I want to emphasize is that the gene aspect comes into my conversation a lot. They're like, oh, we have these genes. Everybody in my family has diabetes. It's okay. I'm going to get diabetes. So I'm going to eat what I want. Now there's a study called epigenetics. And this epigenetics is telling us that we can turn our genes on and off just by our environment. And the Quran even tells us that whatever good happens is from Allah, and whatever bad happens is from ourselves. And now that's what exactly what science is proving, is that we can turn our genes on and off just by our environment. And food is key, because especially when it comes to, you know, Surah Baqarah ayah number 168, halal and tayyib. So qualities, let's talk about quality. The quality of the food matters because of the fact that the difference between somebody with the problem and somebody without a problem. If we study the same anatomy books, and if we study the same physiology books, if we're all the exact same on the inside, it's our environment that makes a difference. And the biggest connection between our insides and our outsides is through our mouth, mm-hmm. our gut. But why does Allah say the worst vessel you can fill is your stomach? Why does it, like, there's hadith where if your gut is diseased, your body is diseased, and if your gut is healthy, your body is healthy.
I'm That's the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. These
are all both the worst, hadiths.
Yeah.
The worst vessel you can fill is your stomach.
Yeah.
Why does Allah say that? You think that there are so many other places. Because our gut contains 100 trillion bacteria that line our gut lining.
How many hundred trillion?
100 trillion. We're only 10 to 32 trillion human cells. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, we are more microbiome, that's called the bacteria that lives in our bodies, microbiome than we are human cells.
Subhanallah.
Then we have 70 to 80% of our immune system lies in the gut.
Our immune system, 70% in the...
70 to 80%, if not more, lies in the gut. So our microbiome, which is these gut bacteria, are responsible for digestion, metabolism. They can turn our genes on and off. Epigenetics, they can control that. Even to the fact that they make 90% of your serotonin and 50% of your dopamine is made by that gut bacteria.
You give an example in your book, Genetics, the environment being the gun and the what being...
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is where if you're... it's like genetics is basically your... Genetics is the gun, but the environment pulls the trigger.
That's what you said in your book, yeah.
Yes. And so this is the environment. These impure foods actually go and kill off these bad bacteria. When it kills off these bad bacteria that are doing all these amazing... when it kills off these good bacteria that are doing all these amazing things, it gets replaced by bad bacteria mm-hmm. and bad bugs. When that imbalance turns to more bad bugs to good bugs, your 70 to 80% of immune system is like, hey, you shouldn't be here. So you go, because these bad bugs are letting things through that should not be getting there.
Mm-hmm.
70 to 80% of immune system is attacking it, leaving immune complexes all over the body, resulting in chronic disease of every stripe. And this is in the conventional medical practice. You guys can look it up. All the studies are there in PubMed. It's called increased intestinal permeability.
Yes.
And for the layman, it's called leaky gut syndrome.
Yeah. Many people are also... There's also another top medical doctor, Dr. Kelly Brogan. Have you heard of her?
Oh, yep.
Heal your food, heal your mood, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she stopped prescribing the drugs. And many people have... She's a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Psychiatrist is the one that can prescribe drugs,
mm-hmm.
right? And she stopped that. And she talks about depression. Mm-hmm. And many people haven't also pinpointed this. And they give them the drugs, but being linked to food also.
Absolutely.
That's a huge epidemic. Depression. And now, obviously, the spiritual component. But some people are spiritual, also praying and everything. They're like, mm-hmm. why am I depressed? They're not connecting it back
to
the food. And
they're
going to the person who's giving them more prescription drugs.
Absolutely.
And that's not solving the problem.
And what's really, subhanAllah.
So talk to me about that. So depression can be linked back to your food?
So subhanAllah. Remember we talked about 90% of your serotonin is made in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
50% of your dopamine is made in the gut, your feel-good hormone.
Yeah.
And there's a direct connection between our gut microbiome and our brain through the vagus nerve. It's called the gut-brain connection. This is what's so subhanAllah, and this is what science now is proving, is that why did Allah link in Surah Baqarah, ayah number 168, eat a wish is halal and tayyib, and do not follow footsteps of shaitan? Because Allah linked our gut with our brains and our decisions and how we feel and how we interact with life. So yes, depression, especially now that it's on a rise in our masjids, you know, anxiety, suicide rates, all of these things are an epidemic everywhere now.
Yeah.
It's affecting even yesterday I saw a patient, he was 12 years old with severe depression and was trying to commit suicide. What is going on? What are we doing to our children? Even not even just this, the epidemic of autism is we know that they are continuing at this current, if we continue at the current trajectory, one out of every four children will have autism by 2033.
How many?
One out of every four children, 25% of our children,
SubhanAllah,
will have autism by 2033. That's around the corner.
Yeah, it was one in 10,000 not too long ago. What is it, 10 years ago or something?
And now it's one in every 50. But then they say one in every 50. Yeah, and then so now it's just continuing
to increase. What do you say to the argument? The counter would be like, well, we're able to diagnose it better. Have you heard that?
We are able to, yes, maybe we are able to diagnose it better. But it's specifically where, I mean, like genetics, if you have a genetics problem,
yes,
you would not see that increase. You would see that very stable. But because of the fact that we are fine, if we're diagnosing it better, whatever, well, these kids are still sick.
They're still sick.
They're still sick, and it's not genetics. It's our environment that's making a difference.
Yeah.
I'm also the director of education for Documenting Hope. And that's a non-for-profit national organization dedicated to heal chronic disease in children.
Yeah.
And they are taking 14 children with 7 chronic illnesses and healing them through lifestyle and fixing their deficiencies, all this pure stuff, living purity, and documenting it via media. We're doing an IRB study right now, and through media, we're going to record it and do a video TV show. But what's so cool, the head of the study is the pediatric neurologist at Harvard.
Uh-huh.
And she's had quotes saying that, you know, she's the one that's backing this up. The reason why we're having all these conditions is because of the fact that we are constantly bombarding our bodies with impurities in every direction. There's toxins in our environment that are on the rise. There's toxins in our gut, in our food that's on the rise. All these artificial fake environment leading to a decrease in the gut microbiome, leading to leaky gut, increased intestinal permeability, that leads to diseases of every stripe. You can start with, like, for example, depression, anxiety, mm-hmm. schizophrenia, bipolar, autism, to digestive complaints, to headaches, visual changes, thyroid abnormalities, other autoimmune conditions, cancers, pain, arthritis, eczema. You can actually even start to notice these changes in children very, very young. Colicky baby, ear infections, sinus issues,
Yes.
You can start seeing these things really young.
Mm-hmm.
But as doctors, again, because we're not noticed to identify it, we just say, oh, he's fine. We're just going to put a tube in the ear and it's fine. But never really addressing the underlying cause.
Good doctors whose education in this aspect is limited here.
Mm-hmm.
Good doctors who hands are tied in most cases. And my uncle, he's also more holistic minded. He was at the masjid at MCC, and we were talking about how when you walk out of there, because you said, okay, what are mm-hmm. we doing? And when you start in the masjid and you come out on the Jummah, have you ever seen this, brother? Where you come out and sister, I'm talking to the brother, asking him also to collaborate with this. And now they got the Coca-Cola, which I think just drinking one of those a day increases your chances of diabetes by 30%.
Yeah, we'll talk about that too.
Yeah. So you have all of this fake food when you come out. They have all the potato chips, and the person says, well, potato chips comes from potato, so mm-hmm. what's the big deal? And all of the other garbage that's there, you know, this candies and whatnot that they're giving the kids. So he goes and he talks to the imam, and the imam says, my hands are tied because this is the board and all that. So it goes under the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, if you see an evil, you know, you change it with your hands. And if you, because we think it's just limited to certain aspect, but this is also something that's is affecting our health, and kids are dying. And this is one of the
it's
greatest
blood, our children. It's
our children,
our future.
So if he would have got up, the imam, to educate himself and to also now speak up and bring the hadith mm-hmm. and the ayahs, what you're talking about, tayyibat. But many scholars here are also limited, or they are so busy on other aspects. May Allah bless them. But this is something that they need to start getting more educated on. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi, one of the great scholars, he wrote a book on this.
Mm-hmm.
He was someone ahead of his time who mm-hmm. speaks about this. But many of us need to start speaking up more and replace those fake foods in the masjids, at least start there, and with real foods.
With real foods. Because, yes, those fake foods are, the quality is destroying our gut microbiome.
Yeah.
This is why the worst vessel you can fill is your stomach. But also, the quantity now, that is really scary, because of the fact that it is, Allah put such a Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahih Bukhari hadith, says a believer fills his stomach with one, I mean, fills one stomach, and then a non-believer, like really differentiated between believer and non-believer, fills his stomach with seven.
Seven, yeah, eating.
And what are we doing as a Muslim ummah? And that's and this is Sahih Buhari hadith. This is this is how the importance that Allah has put on quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And now science is proving that when you eat more foods, when you eat fake foods, these fake foods are actually raising our blood sugar level higher. But raising our blood sugar level higher than than real food does.
Yes.
And so this is another epidemic that our children, in 1980 there were zero cases of diabetes type 2. In 2010 there was 60,000 cases of diabetes type 2, and now it's even worse. Diabetes, insulin resistance is such on a rise.
Yes.
Most I have because I see a lot of kids, 8 out of 10 kids that I see are pre-diabetic.
Yeah.
And I've been practicing medicine for 9 years. And I'm like, this is, after residency. But this is crazy because now these artificial foods are raising our blood sugar level that is leading to pre-diabetes. And pre-diabetes symptom is probably what we're all walking around with. Weight gain around the midsection, fatigue, irritability, brain fog, acne, irregular periods, problems with... when you have sugar crashes, carb cravings.
Mm-hmm.
We think that our kids are just, we're feeding them junk, all these lollipops and all these things because they love sugar. No, it's because they're getting sick that's why they're craving all these carbs. And then it also leads to, if you notice when you go to a restaurant, what is the first thing they give you?
They put the bread on the table.
The bread. Why would they give you bread on the table?
Well, what's wrong with bread, sis? Dr. Madiha, many people, they say bread is, that's a real food, no?
So, alhamdulillah, like, there has been no documented anywhere that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ever eaten wheat.
Mm-hmm.
He ate barley, but he never ate wheat.
Yes.
But our bread now has been so genetically modified where it used to be 14 chromosomes, and now it's about 44 chromosomes. And our body doesn't recognize it as food. But the thing is, it's not just the wheat itself. When they give you this bread at this restaurant, it's fake. Did they ever look at the ingredients? It's mostly just completely fake, processed, refined, so much so that it is destroying our insides by destroying our insides. It goes actually, it inhibits our leptin. And leptin is a hormone for satiation.
Yes.
So these fake foods are actually making us leptin resistant and inhibiting the leptin, which tell us, we don't know when we're one third full.
Yeah.
You know, yes, alhamdulillah, Allah tells Prophet Muhammad says one third, but we're filling it with the fake food that is then telling us by our bodies that we don't know when we're one third full, so then we keep on eating until we're completely stuffed.
So this is not the bread that your great-great-grandparents over 100 years ago had, that kind of bread. No.
And this is why there's chronic diseases such on a rise, is because we have been eating the fake processed bread for so long. And if you think about it, we have bread, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There's some sort of grains, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And the barley that is prophetic, now we are even reacting to that. Where because of the fact it still has gluten in it, the barley has gluten. But the barley, what's so subhanAllah about it, is that it doesn't raise your blood sugar level.
Mm-hmm.
But when I want to help heal and prevent chronic illness, I have people stay away from the wheat as much as possible.
Yes.
And fill your one third up with the most nutrient dense foods that are going to help heal you, keep your gut bacteria healthy, because that good quality, pure quality, small quantity that is going to keep your gut, your hormones balanced and your insulin balanced and your glucose balanced, and then nutrient dense.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever, even my kids are 10, 7, 5, and 2.
Yeah.
So even when they're hungry, I have them go down the list.
Uh-huh.
You know, we want to only fill the one third up. Fill it with vegetables, protein, and healthy fats. All those foods will satiate you, and you're less in the kitchen. So yay, double
you,
vegetables, protein, healthy fats. For
you spoke on some statistics. What do you think? And this goes back, so I was mentioning a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, last and final messenger sent to mankind, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, if you see an evil, to change it with your hand. If you can't, then speak out against it. And then the least amount of hate in your heart, so people can see, okay, if someone is giving my son drugs or about to get hit by a car, you push him out of the way, you stop that evil from coming. Mm-hmm. These are now, when you look at this disaster that's about to hit a family where tomorrow their kid can have cancer, a disease that can just destroy their health. So, of course, we're speaking out against this. Falls mm-hmm. in line with that. Now, look at this. Some statistics. What do you think when you hear this? You've heard these. 100 mm-hmm. million people in America today are either pre-diabetic or have full-blown type 2 diabetes. We have like 325 million, I believe, in the U.S. So 100 million pre-diabetic or have diabetes. 30% of kids have a chronic disease. And you're seeing that 8-year-old kids with diabetes. You have 1 in 2 people have a chronic disease. That's half of America. Mm-hmm. Almost 1 in 3 have multiple chronic diseases. 40% of us here in America are obese. 30% are overweight. So that's 70% are obese, overweight. Here's a scarier. 1 in 2 people, men, will have cancer. 1 in 3 women will have cancer. Wow. What, subhanAllah, what do you...
And it's continuing to rise. And that's that scary. Scary.
So that's... It is
taking our future. It's taking our...
They're mind-blowing by hearing this.
It's mind-blowing.
But what you just said, it's continuing to rise.
It's continuing
so
to rise.
So that's the evil, the disaster now, that we're going to continue to rise with it, or we're going to go ahead and make a change and honor this vehicle of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us.
Our body has a right over us.
Yeah, an awakening needs to happen.
Awakening needs to happen. It needs to start in our masjids. We as a Muslim ummah have Allah, we have such a beautiful religion. It's holistic in every aspect. Mm-hmm. It tells us how to eat, live, breathe.
Yes.
Right? So, but the thing is, this is the one piece of the puzzle that I've noticed is we are not focusing on in the Muslim Ummah. We getting back to taking care of this body, this vehicle that Allah has given us by filling it with, you know, good, pure foods. Now, no artificial foods. That should be just like we look for gelatin and things. We should be looking to make sure there's no artificial stuff on our foods, because mm-hmm. that's not tayyib.
Yes.
Then we have is you want to make sure that the world around you you're living in is as clean as possible. These toxins that we put all over our homes.
Cleaning supplies.
If they kill 99% of the bacteria on the outside, what are they doing with the bacteria on the inside?
Replacement. What can you do? Okay, so
there's natural things. You can buy natural at all these grocery stores. You can even buy natural products.
Lemon. You can clean with lemon. What's the other one? Vinegar.
Essential oils that you can clean with. And I do vinegar and water floors.
Smells good. It's toxic free.
It's toxic free.
So that's another thing. So we talk about food. You just mentioned chemicals that
chemicals
you're every
that
day
every day
that you're cleaning with, right?
Cleaning with, living with, putting on our body, lotions.
Yeah.
Shampooing.
Cosmetics now. That's a whole different. Wow. Yeah.
So do you see? Like, it's not even just. It's this pure lifestyle that mm-hmm. we really need to focus on with. That our environment around us should be as clean as possible. So if you're not going to be eating it, don't put it in around your house.
That's a good. So the commercial industry is making money, capitalizing, and there hasn't been really many safety regulations. And now we're finding out on the other end, you know, the skyrocketing cancers and all these other things.
And there's so many hormone disruptors in our houses just in and of itself. Because, I mean, we can't control what's going on outside, but we can at least control what's going on in our homes.
Yes.
And it's all about, I tell people to just take one step at a time. Soap runs out, go buy a new natural soap. Detergent runs out, go buy a natural detergent.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that there's so many hormone disruptors that are messing up our children and our biology just by being there.
Look at this one. This is mind blowing.
So mind blowing.
You have this is something people can, a lot of these things, they're not complicated. It's really simple to understand. It's just taking the time now, listening, watching this, and then going and doing your homework. And mm-hmm. now is a perfect opportunity because you're detoxing. We'll talk a little bit about the blessing of Ramadan. And now you're really, having this chance during this blessed month of Ramadan. But you know what just came to my mind? We brush our teeth every day, alhamdulillah. You turn it over and it says, you know, if swallowed, call poison control. You know what I mean? The fluoride and the toothpaste and these toothpastes with toxins and just one simple thing. Can you imagine that now? How many kids are swallowing? You know, because we are adults, we'll spit it out. But training a kid to swallow, and it says on the back, it says poison, call poison control. Did you know about that, brother?
It is. It's everywhere.
Wow.
You know, and that's what we need to just take one step at a time and get in that right direction. The next piece of the puzzle that I always work with all of my patients on, and I actually start this with my patients, is gratitude, the mm-hmm. power of spirituality. Because if we live a life of frustration, mm-hmm. they've done studies where our heart rate variability goes all over the charts.
Subhanallah.
And if we live a life of appreciation, our heart rate variability is a nice sine wave. It's like coherent.
Now the stress goes down.
Stress goes down. It lowers our stress levels. It lowers our cortisol levels. It just by being grateful, it actually turns genes on and off, and even lowers inflammatory markers. It actually improves heart failure. They've done studies where it even improves heart failure just being grateful. And it is so, subhanAllah, in Surah Baqarah and Surah Ibrahim, ayah number 7, Allah uses the strongest language in the Quran. He says, I swear to it, I swear to it, I swear to it, I promise I'm going to increase you if you are just a little grateful.
SubhanAllah.
And Allah doesn't specify, this is what's so subhanAllah, is Allah doesn't specify who you need to be grateful for.
Yeah.
He doesn't specify what you need to be grateful for, or even if you need to believe in Him or not. He just says, be grateful, and I promise I'm going to increase you.
That's deep.
That is so deep. And so I start every one of my patients on gratitude. But now the science is proving the power of gratitude. And we can go ahead and live our lives. We know that we should be a people of alhamdulillah. We know we should be people. We know you need to be thankful. We hear it in our masjids on a daily basis. We hear it everywhere we go. But the thing is, our environment now, we turn on social media, everybody's lives look perfect.
Yeah.
Our subconscious governs about 90% of our thoughts and actions. So if we 90% of that subconscious is like, oh my gosh, if I didn't have the best iPhone, I should have, I'm going to be depressed. Or if I don't have this materialistic thing, then I should be upset. But we constantly immediately look at the negative, not the positive.
Ingratitude.
So we need to, I work with my patients, and I've been doing this for the last 14 years, is all my patients, every single solitary one patient, immediately when they wake up in the morning, I have them say 10 things that they're thankful for. And it really makes such a huge difference. And that's not me doing the healing, it's Allah doing the healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because He promises it. So then I have them focus on the people around them, toxic friends. How many times does the Prophet Muhammad say, watch your friends, make sure you only hang out with those people that will lift you up, not drag you down.
Now you're a doctor telling your patients that this is also something very unique, very rare to find at all.
But the studies are all there. My book I've backed up with 500 evidence-based studies.
In PubReview, you can go and
PubMed, check them all out. They're everywhere. They're all the studies.
So this is science-based.
These are all science-based. They've done studies where just love heals.
Mm-hmm.
They love actually, when you give somebody love and appreciation and all that stuff, it actually releases oxytocin and stress-reducing hormones that help you heal from the inside out and lowers inflammatory markers and improves your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can love really, truly does heal.
Yeah.
And then we have we talked about spiritual health, social health, sleep. That's something that, again, we are, as Muslims, we are not focusing on. We're not putting an emphasis on that. While we sleep, we're not using much energy. So it leaves more energy for our bodies to detox, make hormones, to help heal from the inside out and lower inflammation just by improving your immunity mm-hmm. by just sleeping.
Yes.
Then we have stress. Stress leads to 80% of the complaints that come to primary care physicians are due to stress. And this is what's so crazy. 80% of the complaints that come to primary care physicians are due to stress. We all know it. But who was not taught any stress management? I was not taught anything. And as a new mom, a new wife, a new resident, me and my husband are both working 80-hour work weeks, not sleeping, not eating well. I really wish somebody taught me stress management. During residency, I developed shingles. What older people develop. I had developed shingles because my immune system was so weak. And this is where I wish somebody taught us the power of meditation, yoga, prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not taught any of that, because just by incorporating a stress management technique into your daily routine, you can keep damaging hormones at bay. Yeah. And it's so subhanAllah just by that. And that in and of itself, Allah puts a lot of emphasis on it.
There is one sunnah that needs to be revived, and it goes back to what you're talking about, gratitude. because usually a person who's also depressed, one of the things is that they can't see anything good. Mm-hmm. So if we, there's sajda shukr, where the Prophet ﷺ would just fall down. Mm-hmm. You just fall, like some good news, small good news, big, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you just prostrate your head to the ground and you thank Allah.
Oh, subhanAllah.
That's it. So you're being thankful to the small things.
Small things.
And then imagine the great things. So you're seeing the blessings
you're
coming.
You're seeing the blessings.
So this is also a remedy, that sajda shukr. You know,
shukr.
The prostration of gratefulness. Right?
Absolutely.
This is another
And it's
formula.
Also yoga pose.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
Now this is where the science and Allah has told
we
us.
We have everything
coming.
There. It's amazing.
We have
yeah.
Our religion is so beautiful.
SubhanAllah.
If we just go back to the basics of our deen.
Yeah.
And treat this vessel like a gift from Allah, mm-hmm. and our children like gift from Allah, then we would not be putting junk in it. We would be taking yeah. care of it. This is why Allah says our body has a right over us.
We're almost out of time.
Yeah.
Tell us before we end. We got one of these. We got just the main difference between fake is that you have artificial ingredients in there for a longer shelf life. Mm-hmm. It's not fresh. It's toxic. So here you only had the four ingredients. So it's healthy for you, and it's something now you replace the fake,
yeah.
and it's delicious.
And it's satiating. My kids only have like one or two at the most.
And there's no, one of the killers nowadays is the new nicotine is the white sugar, right? Mm-hmm. White, brown, all this sugar that now you replaced it with honey.
Honey, it's
yeah.
prophetic. And this is what's so subhanAllah, honey in and of itself actually goes and holds on to the pesticides and the artificial chemicals in our body yeah. and flushes it out. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. And another thing that I did want to emphasize is when you use pure foods,
yes.
you spend less, you spend a little bit more on food quality, but you spend less on food quantity.
Yeah.
While when you eat a lot of fake foods, you spend less on food quality, but more on food quantity.
Yeah.
And obviously the first one is the way that our deen should. And this is what a normal plate should look like. This is says, whenever I have my patients and my children, vegetables, protein, healthy fats, you have your delicious vegetables here. We
okay,
have peppers.
So peppers, okay.
We have peppers. We have spinach. Great
spinach.
For detox. Great antioxidants. Really help your body heal from the inside out. Then we have is oranges. That's where you're going to leave for dessert. But specifically, we have vegetables, protein. You just need a little bit of protein. Prophet Muhammad
awesome.
Had a little bit of protein. It's not the thing that you have to, you know, those huge steaks. It's just a very small amount of protein to help satiate.
That's the
you.
Salmon now?
Salmon.
Okay, what's the difference
wild
now?
Caught salmon,
wild caught, okay.
Wild caught salmon.
Different, someone's because there's salmon out there, and so for people, okay, they're going to get the salmon, but now they have the farm raised.
Yeah, no.
Why do you want to avoid
we
the farm raised?
We want farm raised because there's chemicals in them you don't even want
okay.
to get to. There's the artificial, they feed them all that stuff.
You got,
so this is very, very yeah. small amount. And then olives, like prophetic. This is
very healthy, huh?
Very healthy.
I heard it's a superfood. This
superfood, and on top of that, it's healthy fat. And this is what will help satiate you. So vegetables, protein, healthy fats. Then we have is if you want that crunch and that biscuit, if we're there are almond flour crackers out there.
So these are almond flour
these
crackers.
These are almond flour crackers. You can buy at any of the stores.
What if someone says, okay, I just do, you know, potato chips, comes from the potato. You hear
it
this.
It raises your blood sugar level too high. It,
yeah.
You know, increases your, it leads to leptin resistance.
It's
you,
fake.
It's fake food.
It's fake food.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you can get stuff if you really want to, I mean, done in coconut oil.
Potato chips are fake food. They're also cancer causing food.
Because they're frying it in the artificial oils.
Yeah, okay.
So, but here we have is almond flour crackers. You can buy them at wholesalers. You can buy them everywhere. And a couple are so satiating. That's
uh-huh.
all you need for that crunch. And then I have all my patients heal with, okay, so it's to take out the bad food to heal. Mm-hmm. You take out the bad food.
Take out the bad.
Put the good.
Good.
Replace with probiotics like sauerkraut.
Oh, I love sauerkraut, yes.
Probiotics.
Then fermented, so
fermented food
that's
really
good for the healing
for
of the
healing
gut.
Of
fermented
the gut.
Foods, yeah.
Repairing it with bone broth.
Oh, bone broth.
And key nutrients like vitamin D and fish oil that we're not getting in our bodies. And then rebalancing with everything that we just talked about. Being thankful, keeping the people in and around us happy and healthy. Make sure you keep those people that are lifting you up, not dragging you down. Sleeping well. Incorporating a stress management technique into your daily routine. Focusing on vegetables, protein, healthy fats, eating one-third, one-third, one-third. Intermittent fasting is all. There's science that backs that up now, that it puts our body back into balance, helps us detox, lowers insulin, and then focus on these healing foods, and then detoxifying our bodies.
Bone broth, easy to make, is it?
So easy.
It's so healthy. How do you make?
So all we do here is you just take, you're going to buy, you know, if you're going to buy the bones anyway for any meat that you're going to cook, I just take that in the slow cooker, the bones, after they're done.
For how long do you recommend?
Like anywhere from 8 to even 48 hours, depending on how fast you're
in. And you got soup, so that's the soup from the bones, the nutrients from the bones.
The bone broth, it's so healing. It has all your bioavailable amino acids. It has a glutamine that helps the body heal, all that. And then I have people do, for detox purposes, I have them do like Epsom salt baths to help really take those toxins out. But specifically, really just got to focus on this.
So now we have Ramadan, the benefits. Can we talk a little bit about, before we end, now it's a perfect opportunity because now you're not only spiritually, but physically getting your body and everything in balance. You want to move forward. Now's a great time to do that with all the things we're talking about. Can we talk about a little bit of the benefits now of Ramadan, like what's going on in the body during the fast?
It is amazing, subhanAllah. So there is this doctor. He's a nephrologist. He wrote the book, The Obesity Code, and he talks about, he's in Canada, he talks about healing diabetes, healing this chronic diseases, and the way that he does that is by fasting. And he talks about the benefits, how it helps you detox. You know, when we eat all these foods, especially processed foods, it raises our insulin level to a totally different baseline.
Yeah.
So now, no matter what we do, we can't bring that baseline down. This is why a lot of people can't lose weight. You hold on to these toxins. But what happens with fasting is now you take that insulin level baseline and you bring it down to a totally different baseline. And that baseline now is a healing baseline. You lower your sugar levels. You're able to lose the weight. You're able to lower inflammation, insulin resistance. Remember, we talked about insulin resistance leads to all of those diseases.
Yes.
So if you're able to then lower the insulin, you know, lower the insulin resistance, my father-in-law, he's a doctor himself. When he came to me, he was on 30 units of insulin, and he's had diabetes for the last 30 years. He occasionally takes a metformin now. By focusing on this intermittent fasting, by really helping to detox, fasting is amazing. It has so many health benefits.
And now we're approaching Ramadan. It's the perfect time to get it right. Many people end up feasting after the fasting. So now you start off before the break of dawn to have a nice little meal. You can start off with, what do you recommend that they, to stay hydrated, to get the electrolytes? What do you recommend before, as they start Ramadan and then to break the fast? What are your recommendations?
So I have actually, I wrote those recommendations in a 25-page cookbook that I would love to offer your
And give us that code. You have some code for it?
If you text the code 44222, type healing eats, one word, to 44222.
Healing eats?
Healing eats.
Yes.
Healing eats, one word.
You text it?
You text it to 44222. Text Healing Eats, and I will send you my recipe book, and that will benefit then for Ramadan. But again, that's Healing Eats, text to 44222. And it's so subhanAllah. So for example, you just go down the list. Vegetables, protein, healthy fats.
Mm-hmm.
You want to focus on all of this stuff will keep you satiated. If you're going to, a smoothie in the morning is, especially when somebody can't get up in the morning, a smoothie is an amazing option. You have your healthy fats, you have your vegetables, you have everything in there, like a Coke, like a, I love a chocolate smoothie in the morning. You know, you put your nut butter, your almond milk in it. A lot of people have issues with dairy, so almond milk in there, with ice, cocoa powder, which is so many healing benefits because of chocolate. And then with not unsweetened, some dates in there, almond butter, ice, cocoa powder. Yeah, and then I just stick frozen greens, you can't even tell. But alhamdulillah, that it's so satiating, you know, until iftar, you're actually pretty full.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. So small goes a long way when you eat quality foods.
Yeah.
And then for iftar, and this is what I want to emphasize to all the masjids out there, we need to be this example of what we need to open our masjids with. We can't open our fast with artificial foods. There's, you know, artificial, if it's pink, it's most likely, if a drink is pink, it's most likely artificial. You know, and things like that, we need to open it with similar foods.
Yeah. Okay, let's call to action.
Yep.
A call to action. Many people have had their lipid sensor, like you said, blocked. Mm-hmm. Sugar, the culprit that is the new nicotine of our time. It's more addictive than cocaine. Mm-hmm. They've done studies on it where the brain is lighting up just like it does for heroin or cocaine. So it's very mm-hmm. addictive, and many people have become addicted to this. Mm-hmm. Now is a time. Okay, that's another question. How do they get off the addiction? How do they break that addiction? What would you suggest? Because it's addicting. I mean,
it's addicting.
What do you suggest?
So I have them, all my patients, start off with something. Like, instead of sugar, use honey.
Okay, so replace it.
You replace it. So it's not like they're taking it away.
You have, what are the replacements? I have honey. How about natural stevia?
Yes, I love natural stevia.
Okay.
Organic raw stevia and stevia, honey. There's raw maple syrup out there.
Okay.
Date sugar.
Not that other stuff. What's it?
Not the stuff that you put on pancakes.
No,
and
no. Okay.
Raw organic maple yeah. syrup, and just a little bit goes a long way.
Yeah.
So and it's still just treats, but that's how you really want it. Like, for example, if somebody's stuck with brownies and cookies and crackers, guess what?
You can still make you can make sweet potato brownies.
You can
make
avocado.
There's so many
alternatives out there.
Yeah. So you have also, that's the code you put to get those recipes.
You get, I have 25 recipes. Yeah. It's also in my book. It's you can also subscribe at www.holisticmommd.com. Mm-hmm. My Facebook page is holisticmommd.
Yes.
So holisticmommd.com. And the code is healing eats, one word, 244222.
Now, quick call to action. So I was saying that, okay, now the addiction is there. Many of the leaders in our communities, we talked about the epidemic of chronic disease, cancers. You have a responsibility. If you are guiding this community towards spiritual enlightenment, also, this is a thing. The Prophet ﷺ said that the greatest blessing after iman is health. So now the sheikhs, the scholars, they shouldn't be obese.
No.
They should not be also, they should also be monitored. They shouldn't have like their twin, like pregnant, and I don't want to offend anybody, but this is something that we need to shake some people.
It's a sad reality.
They shouldn't be obese because they're setting an example. They should be talking about this because it's going to be affecting, it's coming, the wave. It's here and it's continuing to grow.
And
so
it's affecting our
they
future.
Should not allow, when they come out of the Jummas where you have people selling this
junk.
We have a professional here, a medical doc, holistic doctor, so we bring you the facts. We need to make those. So those are the call to actions that now replace it with.
We need to start, yes. We need to get back to our deen. Focus on halal and tayyib, pure foods, whenever we feed it to our children, because our future depends on it. One out of every four children will have autism by 2033, and that is going to continue to rise. Where does Islam go if all of our kids are sick? They're even saying sperm count is completely, drastically disappearing. Where does civilization go if that happens? Yeah. So this is an urgent matter, that our deen is so beautiful that it has all of the tools that we need to make this happen. But yes, we need to put our focus back on this now.
I've seen places where they've taken the initiative. They've watched some of the programs that we've done in the past with some of our nutritionists that come in. I'm so thankful we got you now, also a medical doctor, to substantiate these points. And we've seen people eliminate some of the fake foods they've introduced. I was at a masjid in Florida. I was so happy. They had mangoes, bananas. They
See,
had
that's
the,
awesome.
The dates.
Yes.
I was so elated when I saw that. I said, wow, you know, yes, I had to film this. So it's an easy fix. Substitute it, right? Take the bad out, put the good in. Tayyibat.
That's it. Just focus on tayyib.
And then we have your book here.
It's called The Holistic RX, Your Guide to Healing Chronic Inflammation. And you can get it on the libraries. I'm the first Muslim woman to traditionally publish in the medical field that I know of. And I also have like children books. I have courses. I'm trying to make this healthy lifestyle as easy as possible. So I have all the sources at www.holisticmommd.com. And my Facebook page, where I do Facebook Lives weekly, have lots of fun stuff coming up. I have infographics of how to heal, but it all is this.
So a good start. Easy. So much to, you got the material. Get educated on this. And we talk about gratitude. So much stuff we covered. And if you implement these things, it's only going to better your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and what a great
it.
Month
it's
now to do it in. Ramadan, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh my God, it's my honor.
Jazakallah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And thank you guys for tuning in to the Deen Show. As I said, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. After Iman, what is the greatest blessing is your health. Take advantage of five. The Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he said before five. And one of those is take advantage of your health before sickness. Don't let the sickness come and now you're looking all over for the cure. Honor your body. This is the vehicle that gets you through life. All the leaders in the communities, they need to get educated on this. It's a simple fix, simple solutions. We gave you some of them here. Implement it. You're going to be responsible in front of Allah for it. Not getting this information out. We hope to see you next time. Every week on a Deen Show. Tune in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.